Amen. Praise God. Aren't you glad we're on a solid rock? Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm thankful for that, and hope you've all had a great day and finding the Lord to be faithful, because He is. And appreciate your patience with me tonight. It was one of those situations where what is exactly in the game plan for the evening. I had a meeting that was originally going to be at 5, it ended up being at 6, and ended up going up until 7. I was utilizing some of the things we've been learning during that meeting over the past few days on Take It Personally. Had a couple comments that I'm trying to deal with and work with. A fellow, real tremendously nice man that's been visiting our church, and the Lord's very obviously working in his life, and I appreciate how the Lord does that, and just shows us that. I believe the Lord does these things to show us that is just people like that have just come into our church because they found it online or whatever the case may be. That is just a representation of how many are out there waiting for us to come, waiting for us to knock on their door, and waiting for us to speak the love of Jesus Christ to them. And just the Lord saying, hey, they're out there. And this, you pray for this brother. I can give more details later, but I'm going to be meeting with him again and just dealing with some things. But I believe the Lord is working, and so thankful for it. And we have some things that we want to say tonight, but I want to tell you, I'm going to be a little short tonight. Going to go over some practical tips. I think that's where the Lord would have me be tonight. We're just going to go over those again. We'll go through our outline quickly, just in case those of you did not get any of your blanks filled in on the Take It Personally book. We'll go through those quickly. And then I want to be finished here soon. My goal is to try to be no longer in 15, 20 minutes. I'd like to really emphasize prayer as being the main part of our service tonight. We have many things to be praying about. As you well know, little Francis went home to be with the Lord yesterday, and we need to lift up the dear family, the Zach Meyer and Jemanski family, to just the Lord to give them peace right now and encouragement, and be lifting that up. The services that if you haven't heard, I didn't bring that sheet up with me, but if you haven't, I believe the time is 11 o'clock on Friday. 11 a.m. on Friday there in Indiana, a town there, and they'll be having the services, so we'll just be praying for that. And again, comfort. I know the family, the Jemanskis, Brother David, and those are here. Is there anybody else that's planning on going? I'm just curious. Is there anybody else, okay, Karen, anybody else that was going to plan on going? And I'm praying about it too. I got to work through a couple things, but that might be a possibility I could go as well. But anybody else that's thinking about it or praying about it, okay. Well, we'll just let y'all know how things are going. Just be praying for that situation. And I know they appreciate it so much already on what the Lord is doing, but cannot imagine the burden that is there. Right there. And yes, we know the Lord is able, and He can give great strength and great peace, and that's what we're depending upon. But the truth of the matter is, they're probably in the deepest valley they've ever been in their whole life. And a very dark time for them, that we can pray and lift them up before the Lord and ask Him to help them. So we'll break up here in prayer. But do want to go over a few things from our Take It Personally guide. Do you have your books with you? If you do, and also we're going to see if we can get this projector ready to roll. All right, let's see if I know how to work this one. Should I just hit no show, brother?
No. Turn it on.
Oh, it needs to be turned on. Well, Brother Mike, I thought you would have had me going. But that's my fault. I should have told him to go ahead and get it going, but I didn't. But anyway, we'll give that a second to get warmed up. But let's go ahead and turn into your Bibles just over again to Matthew chapter 28. We'll start off there with our go to Luke 19:10. That's where Luke chapter 19. I may get a letter from somebody about not having a tie on tonight. I realize that. But if you do send one, just please be nice, okay? But I got to learn to keep some extra ones in the closet there. But you know, really, with the shirt I had on, it could have been bad to even wear a tie tonight. Because I only have a couple that would go with this shirt. But anyway, that's besides the point. We're going to go to the Bible now, Luke chapter 19, verse 10. And again, let's read that together as a church. Luke 19:10. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. All right, that was the purpose statement, if you will. We talked about the Lord Jesus having, if He could sum it up in 16 words, what he would do for his life and his purpose statement would be just that. He has come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so we're going to do the same thing. We're going to make that our purpose statement when it comes to reaching people. We're going to get active. We're going to seek. And we're going to go out to save, if you will. And I heard somebody say, now listen, you shouldn't use that type of terminology about going out to save people. Well, I understand that statement because, in essence, we do not save them from their sin, okay? But if you can imagine a lifeguard, which I have been one, and being in the Coast Guard, you were one all the time, basically. You as a seaman there, a Coast Guardsman, you were trained well on getting somebody a life ring to save somebody. You know, you would give them the actual device that would save them. You would throw it out there, and I believe in many ways, folks, that's what the Lord does. The Lord, He's the one that does the saving, but He uses us as an instrument. He uses us as a life ring, almost, if you will, just to throw us out there, to get us out there to the people. And it's the Lord that does the pulling, and it's the Lord that does the bringing in, and it's the Lord that does the actual saving. But aren't you glad that the Lord allows us to be an instrument and to be a tool in the hands of God? And so that's what we're going to try to do. We're going to try to be instruments. We're going to try to be tools used in the hands of Almighty God. But before we start, I just want to go over a couple things here from the lesson before. Can somebody maybe just get a little feedback? Can somebody maybe just give me some points? Maybe somebody even wants to give it a shot without looking at their book. You can take a glance if you want to. But what is the order that we talked about from this book in presenting the gospel? What are some points? You may not word it perfectly, but if somebody want to give it a shot, what order of we would go to in presenting the gospel? Anybody want to give it a shot here? Anybody want to be brave enough? Yes, sir. Christian, what was one of the first points? Yes, the first point would be the fact that, listen, do you realize, because we can't take it for granted that everybody understands that God loves them. You just can't automatically assume when you knock on someone's door that they automatically assume that Jesus loves them. They may have never heard that statement before. They may have, especially in our area, but maybe not. But that God loves them. What was the second one that we talked about? God loves you. Well, would somebody else want to give the second point? Yes, Miss Kathy. Yes, there's a problem. Man's condition. And what is that condition? He's a sinner. He's separated from God. And we're all separated from God. And we can't be brought together until we find that solution that God's had. So you have the condition there. And then what else do you have? What was that next point that we talked about? We talked about understanding the gospel given presentation. Right? Understand God loves you, realize your condition, and notice that there is a price to be paid. And we get that specifically from Romans 6:23. There's a price to be paid. And so we see that. Somebody else want to give me the next point? We notice God's price for sin, which that price is death, correct? What does somebody just tell me when you see that word in Romans 3:23, what does that word death mean? For the wages of sin is death. Somebody talk to me here.
Separation
from God. That's it, right? Spiritually, for all eternity. And that's why there's a need to be reconciled. And you can take somebody and say, well, that means I'm separated from God. And then you can bring out in 2 Corinthians 5 that's why we are to be reconciled with God, brought back together in that relationship. But very good. So there's that price for that is eternal separation. And they need to understand that. But with that, we understand that Christ died for you to bring you together again with God. And what is a verse that says that Christ died for them that you could share with them?
John 3:16.
What's another one? Romans 5:8. I just heard that. Romans 5:8. That God commended His love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Says specifically. Any other verses that deal with Christ dying for them? Anybody else got another verse? Speak up loud so I can hear you. What's that?
Romans 6:23.
That's right. That's the one we're mentioning there. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so you go through, and I encourage you to find more verses that you can put with Jesus dying for them. That's the purpose of us to improve, to go back and put other things that will be helpful. And then we talked about the last thing is confessing your faith in Christ. That is where, my friend, is where there may be a belief. And you especially run into it here too. There's a belief in their heart, but maybe it just hasn't taken root enough to say, you know what? I'm ready to make a choice. To make this my own. It's almost like the guy that was so close that I believe all that, and then you put the personal decision on, okay, well, if you believe that, if you believe what you're talking about, now you have to make a personal decision to receive it by faith. You gotta call out the Lord by faith from your heart that you're gonna make it personal. Because that is what seals it. When you get that, that's where it's at the head. You know, it's like you talk with people out here all the time and they have the facts. Do you believe that Jesus died for you? Oh yeah, I believe that. I knew that, you know. And you'll hear them use that terminology, and what you have to help them do is to help them make sure it's something I've been dealing with. You gotta make sure it's gone from the head down to the heart. There's a lot of people out there that know Jesus died for them, and that's what they equate faith in. They equate, well, knowing, yeah, I know about it, I believe it. They equate believing and knowing, but it's not. It's not the same thing. There is a personal application to themselves, to their sin, that has to be made. And there's a lot of people that know about the gospel, especially in our area, our churches, that know about Christ, but it's never gone down to where it needs to go, and that's the heart. And that's something that God will help you with, and as you are giving the gospel and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know, where's the verse where it says very clearly about the fact that we believe in the heart and we confess with the mouth? Where is that verse found? Romans chapter 10. And so these are places, and by the way, we'll talk some more about this. If you do not have a New Testament, a small New Testament Bible that you can use, please let me know. Because we're going to get you one. Those that are going out,
on the contact team and the assistant contacts. We're going to get you one. And even saturation team. And saturation team, I want to tell you, you will mainly be just putting things on doors, but you just may have somebody in the that's standing in the driveway. And they may just be totally open to the gospel. And they may ask you questions. They may say, well, what is this? Well, sir, it's an invitation to our church. We'd love to have you come. And you can just simply say it. Also, on the back, you know, you'll see the plan of salvation. And you just may have somebody say, well, what is that? Hey, it can happen. It can happen. And you just need to be ready in your heart to just present the very simplistic gospel message of Jesus Christ. And so, it, that's the importance of everybody being ready. But where I was going with that, please let me know if you don't have a New Testament, because we can get you a Gideon's. We can get you a little New Testament, Psalm and Proverbs, and there's other things, other Bibles that we can get with just the New Testament for you. And something that we will require, of course, for all contact people, all our contact guys and contact assistants. You'll need a Bible on you, because I don't want these people that thinking that we're just giving them our opinions. I want us to go over, let's skip right over to page number 28. So we see here these practical tips on page 28. Let's just go through these quickly. And then we're going to break up for prayer. Number one, we see, as I mentioned, we'll carry a New Testament with you. And also something I'm looking at ordering that's very practical is this used to be a little notebook. It held a little notebook that had a pen, but I use it as my track rack. I call this my little track rack here, and I keep my tracks in that. They're protected well, and now you could get to where you can order these perfect size for your tracks and get your church name on them. So I'm going to order us some to have to protect our gospel tracks, to always have tracks on you. It's so important to be able to just hand somebody that God leads you to by a divine appointment, to be able to give them a nice invitation to the church and a nice smile, and the Lord will use that. So we're going to try to get some track folders, track racks for everybody to be able to do that. Then also go with a partner. That will be a standard for us. We're not going to ask anybody to go alone. It's never a good idea. Most likely we will have husband and wives together, or mom and daughter, or dad and daughter, dad and son, however it works out. And we'll have that, and also friends together. That's perfectly fine. And we're getting the teams divided up now. But we'll try to go out always, at least in pairs. If not more, it could be two adults and a smaller child, things of that nature. That would be just fine. I would not recommend that we go up to a doorstep with, 5, 6, 7, 8 people, unless we're singing Christmas carols. That's probably not a good idea. But number three, this is a given, but something I always want to remind us of: always be polite, courteous, and thoughtful of others. Be courteous, be polite, be respectful. Respect their time. If they're in a hurry, I heard of a story one time. I couldn't imagine it, but the guy said, "Sir, I'm sorry, we don't have the time today." He was even polite. But the guy, before the guy was trying to leave, and the person from the church was out visiting, stuck his foot to keep the door from shutting all the way. And I want to tell you what: if you do that, you better not tell them you're from Crooked Creek Baptist Church. You tell them you're from one of these other churches, okay? I'm just kidding, but don't do that. Do not do that. We want to be very respectful of people's time. If they don't have the time to talk, sir, thank you. You have a great day. Try to leave a track if you can, or door hanger, whatever you have, and be on your way. And so that is very, very important. Number four, never criticize another person's beliefs. All right? That is something I want us to be very careful of. If somebody wants to engage in debate, this is what we'll ask you to do. We're going to ask you to say, "Sir or ma'am, That's not my purpose of today's visit. We want to invite you to our church, and also we'd like to present the gospel. But today I'm not going to be able to engage in debate. And say, if you would like to talk to our pastor or talk about this more in depth, we can schedule another time. In that way, you can get their information, and we can go back. I can go back, or however it may work out. But that is something that we don't want to be criticizing what someone else's belief. And because it'll happen, people will try to get you in a corner from time to time and try to get you to speak evil. What they're trying to do, in essence, is get you to speak evil of what they believe. So then they can accuse you. But we won't be accused of that. We will give them the gospel and let them receive it or reject it. It will be their choice. And now, if they ask you a question, you know, that's a different story. If they say, now, sir, are you telling me that you believe that Jesus Christ is the only way? That if somebody rejects Him, that they'll go spend an eternity in hell? Is that what you're telling me? And then you can very graciously say, yes, sir, that's exactly what I'm saying. But more importantly, that's what the Bible is saying. And so when they ask questions of things, there's more liberty there. But we definitely want to be gracious in the way we conduct ourselves, and even when they are of a different background, and we want to give them the gospel. Number five, never talk alone with a person of the opposite sex in the house. Sometimes you ladies may be paired up, and in that case, if there's a guy that comes to the door, you know you never were to enter in the house. In that case, what I am going to recommend as your pastor at this point anyway is that you just give them an invitation. You give them a tract and say, sir, we just want to invite you to church or whatever. You don't engage in conversation. If he would like to engage in conversation, say, well, our pastor would be glad to come back, or my husband, if that's the case, with me. And so we want to be very careful in that manner to protect ourselves. Never talk to a young child without a parent present. We're going to keep that as a standard. This young child comes to the door, don't ever start talking to that young child about the gospel. Never. Never. You wait until a parent comes, and if a parent's not there, you can leave a gospel tract to say, would you give this to mom and daddy? But do not start in the conversation just prevent that. And then number seven, always seek to be led by the Holy Spirit, to be a good ambassador for Christ and to be a good representative of your church. And that's so important, being led by God's Spirit, being discerning. And so I want you to review those. And also, because of our limited time, I've already gone over what I wanted, but because of our limited time, I want you to go back and review the verses that deal with the gospel in each point. And then I want you to review the verses that deal with the deity of Christ. And I want you to be reviewing those at home, and whether it be your workplace and with your children. That's something I want you to be doing, because this Sunday night we're going to have a special service. We'll be dividing up teams. And then in the weeks to come, the easiest thing, instead of breaking up in here, it's a little awkward with pews and stuff. What we're going to do is those Wednesday nights, when we break up in groups, we're going to do that for part of the prayer meeting. The groups will divide up. You'll have a team leader, assistant team leaders. You guys will practice within your small groups, sharing the gospel with each other, and then you'll have a prayer meeting together. And that's what we'll do here. But I thought that would work better. But Sunday night we will be telling who those teams are and giving more details and answering any questions as far as that is concerned. But definitely wanted to go over some of those tips tonight. Let's just close there for this evening.